Hello, beautiful ladies. This is Dr. Emily Kybird with Thyroid Strong Podcast. I wanted to share a very, very special person today. She has been a client for a year. She is a mother of two teenagers, and she came to me totally exhausted. She would take a two-hour nap every single day. And she told me on our first call, and I still get chills when I think about this, that she's sitting on the sidelines of her life, that her daughter asks, or maybe it's her son, asks to go hiking with her. And she says no, because she knows she'll crash after and she can't make dinner and take care of the house and do all the things after. So she says no. And from that moment of our first call, I was like, we have to get your energy back. That was her number one goal. Yes, losing weight was on the list, but that was icing on the cake. She's like, I really just want to get my energy back. And through the work that we did, and we'll talk about in this episode what we did, she no longer takes naps. She used to walk a mile and need to lay down. And now she can walk 10 miles and totally fine. So we'll break down in this episode what exactly we did, what she came to me with, what's her dream, and where she's at now, because she is a remarkable woman. And the funny thing is she came to me, she's like, you know, I think I might just be tired because I homeschool my two kids. Like, that's stressful. And like, I run the house and all the things. And I was like, yes. And let's see if there's something else going on. Let's see if there's something underneath that narrative and the story that we tell ourselves. Because right now we're telling ourselves like, oh, I'm just like stressed. But if there's something else going on, or there's multiple things going on, that if we address those and if we give you your energy back, you can do anything you want with that energy. You can be present with your kids. You can be loving with your husband. You can go for that hike with your son. You could lose weight because you have the energy to lift weights and meal prep and do all the things. So let's get your energy back. All right, ladies, I introduce you to my amazing client, Allison. Allison, welcome to Thyroid Strong Podcast. I am so excited to have you here. We have been working together for almost a year now. And I'd love to have you share your journey and share your story, because I think a lot of women on this journey can get discouraged. They can really feel like their diagnosis is their identity. And your experience has broken that pattern, broken that mold. Really, like, whenever I talk about my favorite clients and some of their successes, I always reference you. So welcome to Thyroid Strong Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So if you take a moment and you think back to, let's talk like May of last year, before we started working together, could you share some of the things when you think back? And sometimes it's hard to think back of like, wow, what was I struggling back then? Some of the things that you were struggling with the most a year ago.
Yeah, for sure. So last May, I was like really struggling with feeling low on energy. That was the big thing for me, like feeling like I had to sit on the sidelines, and going into summer and seeing my kids and my family doing the fun things that we would normally do. And for the last couple of years, just being in this state of no energy and just kind of watching them do the fun things instead of participating with them in the fun things. And
what were some of those fun things? Can you share?
Yeah, of course. So we do a lot of lake days, wakeboarding and wake surfing, hiking and camping trips, like a lot of outdoor activities for us in the summertime. And really, like, the whole family kind of gets in on all of that. And for the last couple of years, I haven't participated. I've like gone on the boat and been hanging out with everybody on the boat, or gone camping and just kind of been sitting around, like hoping I don't get too tired and have to go take a nap, you know? So I would do the things, but then feeling like I couldn't actually have the fun, because I would feel like I had to take naps for days afterward, or like in the moment just didn't feel strong enough or I could handle it.
Yeah. And just paint a picture for us. Like, how old are your kids?
My daughter is 14 and my son is, he'll be 13 in July. So,
yeah. So I think as a mom to a mom, I feel this about my nine-year-old. I'm like, oh my goodness, I only have really like so many years and to really want to spend quality time. So I can understand how it's like, all right, I'm going to show up. It might be like 50% and I'm kind of worried that it's going to make me crash the rest of the day. How that can feel like sitting on the sidelines of life.
Yeah, for sure. Like my daughter, especially now she's going into high school this year, and I'm like, that means I have four summers left with her and I want to be present and active with her and doing fun things with her and building those memories.
Yeah. There was a story you told me on one of our first calls, and I think it was she was asking you to go hiking because you guys have like trails around your house, right?
Yeah. So it was probably my son. My daughter is not a big hiker.
Oh, okay. But maybe it was a son.
Yeah. It was probably my son. He probably went in to go do some hiking. And I do enjoy hiking. That's one of my favorite things to do. But I just felt like I couldn't do more than a mile or two at best. And just feeling like him and I did do a camping trip the other year, just the two of us, where we did a big long hike. And I was wiped out afterward. And I was like, okay, can we like go home now?
Yeah. So one of the things you also shared is that you used to take a nap almost every day.
Yeah, definitely. Like every day would feel like I needed to take at least an hour, sometimes 2 hour naps. And then there were days that I felt so low on energy that I would take a nap in the morning and then a few hours later be like, okay, I'm going to go take another nap. But, you know, let me have a little bit to myself and rest.
Yeah. Emotionally, was there anything tied to that? So for example, I've worked with women and they're like, I'm really trying to get motivated, but I have to take a nap at 9:30 and then I have to take a nap at 2. I feel like maybe I'm not someone who can get motivated. I've had women say, like, I feel like I'm lazy, even though I'm like doing all the things and running the household and hanging out with the kids. Did anything come up in that sense from like an emotional perspective of not being able to sustain your energy throughout the day?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely would feel like lazy and kind of get down on myself a little bit for that. Like, what do you do with this? Do you know, how do you navigate this? And what is the point? If you're just going to always feel tired every time you do anything, what is the point of trying to do more? Like, just kind of that headspace of there is nothing different than this.
Yeah. Other than the fatigue, which sounds like exhaustion, like fatigue is like fatigue, like times 10, times 100.
Yeah, for sure.
What other things were you experiencing or struggling with the most?
For me, it was a lot of weight gain. With the Hashimoto's, there is a lot of weight gain, and that's not ever been somebody I wanted to be or felt like was me, like to be heavy. And then another thing that I would struggle with was like weird muscle twitches and leg cramping and things like that, especially at night. Or if I had a really active day the next day or that afternoon and evening, my legs, my calf muscles would feel like there was popcorn popping underneath them. They would like be so like twitchy.
Yeah. Before we met, what had you tried? Because obviously you are someone who gathers information, you're researching, you're like, oh, I heard this. Should I try this? Like, for example, the popcorn, you're like, oh, maybe I should like take magnesium at night, right? What were some of the things that you tried before we met?
So originally, when I got a diagnosis with Hashimoto's, I had worked with a different holistic doctor to kind of figure out what was going on. And I got a diagnosis with them for Hashimoto's, and it was kind of like, oh, okay, that makes sense with the things that I'm experiencing. I did like a 6-month autoimmune protocol with them and the food elimination and all of that and putting things back in slowly and seeing what worked and what didn't work. And when I got to that 6-month mark, they were like, okay, that's the end of our program. And I was like, but I don't feel better, you know. So it kind of like working through that beginning like diagnosis in that first 6 months, I was like, oh, this is going somewhere. I felt encouraged, you know. And then they were like, okay, bye, peace out, you know. And I was like, well, great, now what? And trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And all of these ups and downs, some days and some months I would feel okay. And I would be like, okay, I can do this. I can live like this. I can live with Hashimoto's. I can work through it. And then there were some months that were just so bad that I was like, this is horrible. What is going on? And like, just felt like a lot of times I would say that I felt like I had to grieve who I used to be. Like that person was gone and there was no coming back at all from them. And then other times I'd be like, well, there's got to be some sort of an answer. And so I'd be looking up stuff. And I came across Thyroid Strong a couple of times over the years, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. And then last year, I came across some of your workouts and some of the free content that you had, like podcasts and interviews and things. And I was like, okay, this sounds like it might actually be worth looking into a little bit more. And I did your masterclass series. There was a 3-part masterclass series that I took. And I was like, a lot of the things that you were saying, not just about Hashimoto's and diet and exercise, but like the things about mold and like parasites and all of the underlying things that could be going on. I was like, oh, this sounds like my be what I'm going through. And so that was the point where I was like, okay, I've tried everything else and I'm going to just try this and go with this and see how it works.
Yeah. I'll say that the experience that you had before, it's like probably a great first start, like get the diagnosis, work on food. But sometimes when changing the food isn't working, it's probably not the food. And I think one of the powerful things that we worked on was getting really granular and specific to you. And can you talk about, so fatigue was a big player, taking naps. So some of the first things that we worked on was, okay, let's get you lifting weights. We did a session. I was like, whoa, she is so strong. Like deadlifting 95 pounds. I was like, yeah, girl. And we worked on some foundational stuff. Your food was pretty dialed in. I know you love to like cook for your family. And one of the things that we found was some sleep issues.
Yes.
And I remember, I tell this story. I go, this client that I had, she goes, no, Em, I'm a really good sleeper. I don't think we have to look at sleep. And I was like, no, let's just like take a look at a sleep study. And you're like, no, I fall asleep. I stay asleep, but I wake up tired and I'm tired all day. I was like, well, let's just check. And so one of the things that we found was some sleep apnea.
Yes.
Right? Was that eye-opening? Was that like how did you feel
absolutely
going through the process?
Yeah, that was absolutely eye-opening. And seeing that I did wake up frequently through the night, I was like, oh, well, I guess that would make sense why I still feel tired in the morning.
Yeah. And I think one of the great things about you is you trust the process, number one. And then number two, you take action. So I was like, hey, go meet with Kimmy, this myofunctional therapist. She might recommend an airway health dentist. I remember you're like, I don't want to do a CPAP machine. So let's explore everything else. And part of your process was like a palate expander, retraining the strength of your tongue. And like, tell me a little bit about that process, because people might be like, what is she talking about?
Yeah, for sure. When one of the solutions was a CPAP machine, I was like, no way. I already feel unattractive. Like, I don't need to feel like I'm climbing into bed looking like, I don't know, a cyborg or something. No way. So I did decide to meet with Kimmy, and she recommended, she said that I have a narrow palate, and kind of knew that. I've had a crossbite my whole life. And it was when I was a kid, that was like, it was looked at, but it was like, oh, it's just cosmetic. And so we never did anything with it. And so then talking to Kimmy and finding out that expanding the palate would open my airways, and then like doing the strengthening exercises for my tongue and my cheeks and stuff, I was like, okay, I would way rather try all of that than wear a CPAP machine to bits. And so I went ahead and I did do a palate expander. I'm almost done with that expansion now. And I noticed a huge difference. So you notice, like, it probably sounds silly, but I never realized that before. Like, I never realized that people, when they had allergies or a cold, could breathe through their nose at least a little bit. Mine always felt like somebody was like holding it shut with a clothespin. I'd be like, oh, even when I'm congested, I can breathe through my nose. Like, what is this?
Yeah. I think you had even shared on one of our calls, you're like, when I sneeze, there's actually like,
feels different. Yeah. It feels different. Like there's air coming through my nose now. And I'm like, that is so different for me. And I had no idea that would ever be an issue or could contribute so much to how I was feeling.
Yeah. So the listeners were like, well, why would we check a sleep study? Anytime there's fatigue, obviously it could be from Hashimoto's, it could be from adrenals, gut. There's so many different root causes. And we want to address low-hanging fruit. And one of the low-hanging fruit is like, if we can get you to sleep better, if there's sleep apnea. So I think your sleep study, I think you were waking up, maybe it was like 20 times an hour.
Yeah.
Like once every 3 minutes, basically. Anytime there's fatigue, if we're not getting deep sleep. And so we did track data as well, right? You were tracking. And I was like, you're getting like 20 to 30 minutes of deep sleep a night. And ideally you would want an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah.
You're getting like a third of the minimum, right? Are there any other wins or results that you've experienced? Maybe it's from a body, energy, mindset, lifestyle, anything that we haven't talked about?
I think part of too what's helped was the nervous system resets with the Your Daily app. I watched one of your videos and I cannot remember her name for the life of me right now.
Shauna. Shauna.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Shauna. I watched your video that you did with Shauna, your interview with her. And I was like, oh, that sounds like I could do some of these things. And like she in that video shared like rubbing your vagus nerve here. And I was like, I would do that a few times and be like, oh, I feel so much better. So that too, those kinds of things, what do you call them?
Like nervous system resets.
Yeah, the nervous system resets. So sometimes now if I feel like fatigued or I think I'm finding that it's not necessarily fatigue that I'm feeling. I'm finding that it's overwhelm that I'm feeling. And so I'm like, okay, like 2 p.m. if I'm feeling like I need a break, I need a nap, I'll be like, I'll just go in my room and I'll do some of those nervous system reset things that are on the Your Daily app. And I just feel really refreshed after that. And like, okay, I didn't need a nap. I just needed to take 10 minutes to myself to like reset. And then I can go back out and do all of the things.
I think as a mom, and then you layer on a mom who homeschools two teenagers, overwhelm, disassociation, dysregulation, I think is like inevitable. And sometimes our body perceives, okay, I need a nap. Like everyone give mommy space. When yeah. actually it's like, can we just re-regulate? Like if we're like overwhelmed, can we just come back to our body, have like 10, 15 minutes? It's not like, like I'm going for a nap for 2 hours. See you later tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's really powerful. And I think a lot of mothers don't think about that, because I think when we become mothers, no one ever tells you that motherhood is dysregulated.
Right. And you just glow all the time.
Yeah. You just like love being pregnant and you love every phase. And I think that's a really powerful point that you make, that you can have this tool to tap into and can shift your energy. Right.
Yeah.
And from opposite side of the coin, is there something that you do now that you never thought was possible or that like you can do?
That makes me think of the workouts that I've been doing with your workouts and the Turkish getup. I never thought that would ever be something that I would do. And when I see it on the workout, like for the week, I'm like, oh man. And then after I do them, I'm like, I'm so cool. I'm so strong. Like
totally, totally. It is like the move where you have to control your body through like all the different dimensions, like deadlift, you just like bend over, stand up. It's like one plane of motion. Turkish getup is all three planes of motion from the floor to standing. You got it down and you probably have a skill that like 99% of the world doesn't have, right? Like you ask a random dude on the street to do a Turkish getup, he's going to be like, I have no idea.
What is that?
What is that? I love that. Is there anything that you would tell another woman with Hashimoto's who's on the fence about starting this kind of journey where it's like, diving into root causes, if someone's on the fence working with me, is there anything that you would tell them at all from your experience over the last year?
I would say jump in. It's never going to get better if you don't take the steps to make it better. It's never going to change if you don't take action to make the change. Like one thing that I always tell my kids, and that is something true in my life, is the only person you can control is yourself. And the only way that you can control yourself, it's by taking the steps to grow and to change and thinking of who you would like to be, whether it's physical, emotional, or otherwise. That is something that you have to take the steps toward. You have to make those changes. I would say if you're struggling with like a spouse getting on board or even getting yourself on board, that thinking of it as an investment in not only your future, but it really does affect everyone around you. So like with my husband being really supportive, he sees all of the change in myself, but how that affects our kids and our day-to-day life. And it makes life better for him. You know, if he doesn't have to come home and be like, oh, she's, you know, tired and exhausted again, you know, if I'm feeling good, it really does change the whole mood of the family and the dynamic of how everything operates.
Yeah, I love that. Can you tell the story about visiting your sister on the East Coast and like pounding the pavement and walking all over? And she was like checked in with you. Can you tell that story? Because it's so good.
So I went, my sister lives in Maryland, and we went for a week, the kids and I went for a week to be with her and her kiddos. And we went to DC and we did the Memorial and Monument loop. That's like 10 and a half miles. And the kids and I did that. And then we went down to Williamsburg and Jamestown in Virginia. And we were like every day walking and doing all of these things. And it was like a lot of walking, and there was no stopping and taking naps and like break time or anything like that. We were just going, going, going. And I came home, and normally like a year ago, if I had done that, I would have had to take a day or two between each activity to like recover. And then I got home and I was like, oh, great. Okay, great. I'm going to be like crashed for a week. And I got up the next day and I was like, I'm not tired. And there was a little bit of fatigue from like the time difference and things like that. But overall, I did not like end up just crashed out on a couch for a week afterward. And that was like, oh, things are really going good.
Yeah. So 10 miles. This is from someone who a year before was like, if I do a mile to 2 miles, I'm worried I'm gonna have to take a nap for 2 hours.
Exactly.
Tremendous. And didn't your sister say she was like, she kind of checked in. She's like, are you okay? Like, do we need to take a nap? Because she had known historically.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. She was checking on me and she's like, oh, I just want to make sure you're not going to crash, or, you know, that you're doing okay and or keeping up okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's amazing. Talking about like an identity shift, like who you are and who you're becoming. It's not just like, oh, I have more energy. It's your family feels different around you, right? One of the reasons I do this work is because I feel like women run the world. Like if you can get the women feeling better, the husbands feel better, the children feel better. Like women are kind of like in our community, like that feeling better, that resonance just radiates to every other part of whoever we cross paths with. And so I'm like, if we could get the moms feeling better, the world would be such a better place.
Absolutely.
I want to say this. So when you were talking about what you share with your kids of like, you can really only control how you show up, your response. And if you want to create change, you have to take action in what you can control. And the people who do that, like that is their philosophy, are the highest performers in the world that I know. And that's the Navy SEALs. They say they do the same exact thing. If it's not within their control, they don't care. They don't ruminate. They don't worry about it. They don't get like in their head about it. They're just like, okay, what can I control? And let me take action. And then whatever's the next thing on the horizon, I will walk myself towards. And then what's the next thing? And you really like the message for yourself, and that you're also are teaching your kid like a Navy SEAL mentality. I mean, I have super like massive respect for the Navy SEALs. I mean, this in like a good way. But when you were saying that, I was like, wow, the other people in the world that have that mentality are the highest performers in the world, the Navy SEALs. I was like, that's so cool, Allison. Is there anything that you haven't shared or any message you would want to share to the women with Hashimoto's who maybe were in your same exact place a year ago? Any message, it doesn't even matter. Like anything that like bubbles to the surface.
Yeah. I would say don't grieve who you used to be, like I was trying to do. Don't do that. Think of who you can become now and work towards that. It's just a diagnosis. It doesn't have to be your identity.
I love that. That's such a great message. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and being on the podcast. Have you been on other podcasts? Is this your first?
No.
You were amazing. Amazing. But thank you so much for being on. And I know without a doubt, you will inspire hundreds of women listening to this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all of your help through this journey and all of your guidance through that too.
It's been a great path to walk with you because you are such an action taker and you trust the process. And it is such an honor to have you trust me with your health and to trust the process. And it's been like, whenever I talk about success stories, I always mention you in some way, shape or form.